Hey, man, what are you doing?
I'm just lying here relaxing in a stream. I call it streaming.
Okay, you know that word already has another meaning, right?
AFA Streaming offers free and subscription video content. Titles like By Design, The God Who Speaks, and Asbury Revival, Desperate for More. You'll also find video versions of AFR programs. Visit AFA.net and click on Streaming. Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim Wildman with Ed Vitagliano, Wesley Wildman, and now Steve Paisley Jordahl. Good morning, brother
everybody.
Steve.
Hey.
Hey, before we dive into your subject matter, of which you've got a lot to talk about today.
He's loaded.
We say this sometimes at the top of the broadcast, but I feel like we need to say this. Okay, this is a live radio. We do prepare for the show,
right,
despite what people may think. But we don't just walk in here and
wing it,
freewheel it. But on matters of the Bible and Scripture, we want to be theologically pure. Mm-hmm. We want to teach
amen.
The truth. Amen?
Yep. Amen.
Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen.
So, that's what we strive to do with our Bible teaching radio programs, with the comments and things that we say and do here. We understand we have spoken about diversity. We have a diverse listening audience in terms of denominations. And
we're diverse here at AFA.
Yes.
AFR.
Yes.
In terms of that.
And denominations.
Denominations or non-denominations.
Right.
And different
Republicans and Republicans and Republicans.
We don't ask.
That's not the denomination I'm talking about.
That's true.
Steve, but yeah. Well, I think we have more conservatives who happen to vote Republican, right?
Yeah, I agree.
However, so we have a lot of different viewpoints represented on our staff of over 100 people within the Christian community.
Right.
Okay, so, but that's
and I think Ed's wrong. I just want to let
everyone know. What did Ed say?
I don't know.
About what?
And
you think he's wrong about theology? You go to the chain church, he does.
Just kidding. I'm joking. I'm joking.
We don't joke here, Wesley.
Okay.
This is a serious program.
I agree with all things Ed says.
Yeah. So, who's your daddy? That's what I would say to you, because whoever didn't raise you right, because you keep interrupting people, and I don't do that.
And that's Tim's statement.
I said, you need to follow my example, okay? But my point is, that's our mission statement, so to speak. It's not our official mission statement, but what I've just described. Now, when it comes to politics, all right, and government, we try our very best here to apply biblical principles to whatever policy discussion that we're talking about. Sometimes that's hard to do, right? Because I don't think the Bible talks about about Social Security.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
It doesn't say in Romans,
right,
and this should be your position,
right,
as a Christian on Social Security. You tracking with me,
I'm
as Wesley says?
You.
So, when it comes to politics, government, those kinds of things, we need to allow some grace to one another to disagree on what's the best person to elect, what's the best policy to promote. You know what I'm saying?
I think what and to add to that, you mean specific. I would agree. I would add to that by saying personally that would mean not to divide in the sense of fellowship, meaning bread or that's.
Well, and I'm talking about this too. Compromising. You know, you vote for this person or that person, and your friend says, "Well, you're a compromiser." Well, I'm going, yeah. Politics is about compromise.
Right.
It always has been. You, especially in a democracy or a representative government like ours, where the general public votes for things. This ain't a church election, elders, electing right. elders. This is the general population. So when you're dealing with that, you have to allow, to me, I call it grace. You have to, with people.
Our
does
room.
That, does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay, go, Steve.
All right. Secret Service has been taking a lot of heat over what happened Saturday in Pennsylvania for a number of reasons. But there's always been this question about the building. It's 130 yards away, and how'd the guy get up on top and everything? I got to tell you, the rot starts at the very top. This is the head of the Secret Service.
Kim Cheadle.
Kim Cheadle. This is what she said. She said the agency knew of the security vulnerabilities of the building where Crooks was, but a decision was made not to put anyone up on top of it. Instead, there were security personnel inside. This is a quote. That building in particular has a sloped roof at its highest point, and so, you know, there's a safety factor that would be considered there, so you wouldn't want to put someone up on a sloped roof. So, you know, the decision was made to secure the building from the inside. They didn't have anybody up on the roof because they were afraid of a workers' comp claim.
Yeah, this the more information that comes out on this, I think the more the pressure is going to build for Kim Cheadle to resign because this is a disaster. Now, we were talking internally, and of course, everybody who pays any attention to politics has been talking about this since Saturday, all right? But just the very idea, we've also heard that there were snipers who saw the shooter on the roof, but they were not allowed to engage because they didn't know whether that sniper on the roof, who turned out to be Crooks, was a deputy, a sniper from the local law enforcement. And I'm thinking, if you have the proper protection in place with the Secret Service, you say the only snipers here are going to be Secret Service or FBI snipers. Anyone else on a building with a gun is going to get a round through their head. So nobody else. And to me, Cheadle should have resigned over the weekend. But these kinds of rules of engagement, Wesley, are what led to a presidential candidate and a former president and probably the next president almost getting his head taken off.
Now, I understand what you're saying, and that adds to the complication, the fact that there was, in this report that you're mentioning, there was lack of communication
right.
about where people were located. However, John Lovell, on his podcast that I listened to this morning, they reported that the rules of engagement, that didn't calculate miscommunication. The rules of engagement that they were reporting on is that they couldn't shoot anyways. Even if they knew that wasn't an officer,
no,
they couldn't shoot
no,
unless
incorrect.
Okay, what was so they?
This is according to Dan Bongino, who's a former.
So they could shoot if it was
the rules of engagement for the Secret Service are the same rules of engagement for any law enforcement that's armed, which is if you perceive a threat.
Okay, good.
You can shoot.
Gotcha.
But now the snipers that took out Matthew Crooks, were they Secret Service? Or were they?
I don't know if they
FBI
they,
or
Secret Service had two snipers. Up
so
there.
Then, what you're saying? So to tie everything together here, what you've learned through this, through all of this, is that the Secret Service or whoever the snipers were, whether they were local law enforcement or Secret Service, they saw Thomas was his name, the shooter. They saw the shooter. And they were unsure if the shooter.
I don't know that. This is what Cheadle said. Quote: I'm being told that the shooter was actually identified as a potential person of suspicion. Units started responding to seek that individual out. Unfortunately, the rapid succession of how things unfolded by the time an individual was eventually located, they were on the rooftop and were able to fire off at the former president. That dog ain't going to hunt because people were yelling and identifying this guy for 5 minutes.
Well, I guess what I was reporting from John Lovell, that doesn't help. That didn't help satisfy what I discovered this morning, which is that if they saw the guy with the gun, there was, why did they not shoot?
I don't know if they saw a guy with a gun. I know that the people on the ground
called
attention to the guy with a gun, and I don't know. But
about the snipers, that's what I'm
saying. Secret Service would probably know that our boss didn't put up anybody up on the dangerously sloped roof there because, you know, you don't want to sprain an ankle protecting the president.
Yeah, well, John Lovell was reporting that the snipers saw the guy with the gun, and they didn't shoot because of their.
That might be the case, and if that's the case, then that's failed. There's so many failures on this,
to say the least.
And Congress will get to the bottom of it.
Has anybody seen the layout of the map of where the gunman was, where Trump was standing, where the spectator? Have you seen this?
Yeah.
Okay. Anybody can look at this and go, if you were going to pull this off, this is where you would go.
If you're going to protect the president, this is where you would put your assets.
Right, because the reason is because if you were going to cause harm or you were going to try to assassinate, if you're getting as a law enforcement, you want to get in the mind of a criminal so that you can prevent it from happening.
Right.
And so if you're looking at the map, you would look at the map and go, well, a criminal or somebody that's wanting to long-range rifle assassinate, that's where you would go.
It is literally the closest high ground to where the president was. It's not directly behind him.
I was just going to say the snipers who took him out were Secret Service snipers.
Yeah.
I didn't know whether they were Secret Service, FBI, or what.
And they were. So was it a ladder? How did he get to the top?
Air conditioning. He climbed up the air conditioning ducting.
Gotcha.
Nothing suspicious about that.
No.
I mean, come on, man.
Hey, I got to play something for you guys. So Donald Trump called Robert Kennedy Jr., or Robert Kennedy Jr. called Donald Trump, but whatever way it happened, there's a video of RFK Jr. with his phone, and Trump is on the speakerphone, and someone, his son, RFK's son, RFK III, recorded this and released it. This is Donald Trump describing to RFK Jr. in a private conversation, what happened? Listen to this, cut 13.
I would love you to just, and I think it'll be so good for New York and so big for you. And we're gonna win. You know, we're way ahead of the guy. And you know, he's interesting. It was very nice actually. He called me, and he said, "How did you choose to move to the right?" You know, so I guess that people see it. You know, if I was looking straight on, right? He said, I was just showing a chart. I didn't have to tell him the chart was on all the people pouring into our country. Right? But I just turned my head to show the chart. And something wrapped me. It felt like a giant, like the world's largest mosquito. And it was. It was a bullet going around. You know, what do they call that? An AR-15 or something. That was a big gun. Those are pretty tough guns, right?
So that was
pretty Trumpian way to describe.
Was that supposed to be public?
No.
How did that become public?
RFK III released it. Because prior to this, they had a conversation about vaccines. And Trump and he were agreeing. Trump said, I wanted very small vaccines. He said, you see the vaccines they're pumping into these kids? It's like they're meant for horses. They're huge. And the kids are not. It was a whole conversation. And a lot of people upset that it was leaked. But
it wasn't leaked.
It was leaked, but, well, RFK Jr. has apologized for that getting out.
Yeah, he said it was a private conversation.
Yeah.
That's shameful.
How old is his son that leaked it? RFK Jr.
Oh, my.
RFK III leaked it.
Okay, my apologies. I thought RFK Jr. leaked it.
No, RFK III taped it and leaked it.
They're not secretly planning to
send
Biden to an island somewhere.
Usually it's a private conversation. You don't disclose that.
Well, yeah, you know. Yeah. But, you know, with when you're a president like that or somebody high profile, you got to think your conversations are always public, really.
Yeah, you got to be careful. In this conversation.
And Trump's real careful. that's how he operates.
Didn't President Trump also say to RFK that he would maybe do some, it's kind of at the beginning of that, maybe he could do some things in Trump administration.
I think they were talking about the vaccine and
put him over the FDA.
It was something similar, well, something about coordinating a response to the vaccine or whatever, because I think Trump is regretting the way that this went. He's saying that he didn't want mass he never was for mandates. He wanted the vaccine available in small enough doses for people that needed it. You know, not mandated for everybody. So
we've talked about this ad nauseum, and I know there are people listening.
I can bring that part of the conversation in tomorrow if you want.
Can I talk now?
Yeah, go ahead. Share your
Steve,
heart.
I appreciate everything you brought to the table, brother. But I do want to share my heart. Okay.
I'd like to hear
you
your
only
heart.
Get okay. one heart share per segment.
No, he doesn't.
No, he does.
It's every 10 minutes.
So let me just say this. And I know there are going to be some people who take issue with my position on this. That's fine. As I said earlier, we need to allow for grace.
Yes, that's right.
We need to share the love.
And to be rebuked.
I have to remind people that I'm right. You know what I'm saying? On issues. Listen, with respect to Trump and the vaccines, President Trump, at the time, he's no doctor, okay? He's not a scientist. He's the president and formerly a businessman. People walk into your office with white coats on and tell you if you don't do A, B, and C, millions of people are going to die. And you know how long you got to decide on what to do? About a week?
Yeah.
You got about a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, something like that. That's what happened to Trump. That is with respect to the vaccines, Trump doesn't work in a lab creating vaccines.
Right.
He depends on the people like Dr. Fauci and others to tell him the truth.
Right.
And what the story is and how things work. So Trump, all he did was, he said, hey, can we create the vaccine so that we can help people who have COVID or people to prevent COVID? I'm sure Trump thought like we did, this is going to be great. We'll have a shot where people can take it and they won't get COVID. Wasn't that what we were all thinking?
And that's what we were told.
That's what he was told.
Yes.
That's what he was told. So I think what Trump did there was, I don't know that he did this, but I'm guessing he did this. He probably tried to use his power to get a lot of red tape out of the way.
Yes.
Which
Operation Warp Speed.
Operation Warp Speed to get the vaccine out there to the public to save people's lives.
Yes.
That was his motive.
And I would think that RFK Jr. in charge of the FDA,
right,
that's a blockbuster. I mean, that would result in huge changes to the way things are done. The deep state wouldn't like that either.
Can I finish my thought here just real quick?
Well, I didn't know how long your thought was going to last.
So we got to get your thought in.
I can slip into a stream of consciousness, and we could be at the end of the show here.
Right.
Okay,
You go for it.
I acknowledge I can do that.
Yeah.
But what I wanted to say was, I don't personally hold President Trump responsible for the vaccines and the aftermath of them and what we know now about them. He didn't know that at the time. He had to listen to medical experts telling him what's going on. To retrospectively go back and say Trump shouldn't have done this and that with the vaccines, he did not mandate the vaccines. Am I right?
Correct.
He did not.
He was against the mandate of the vaccines.
Yeah. Correct.
But he wanted the vaccines to be made available to the public. He didn't know then what we know now.
Right.
And it's not fair to say Trump's vaccines. I've heard that.
Right.
Those kinds of things. Now, does he continue to talk about them? He does from time to time, but he's more cautious now.
Yeah.
About it because he knows there are millions of people who support him who are against vaccine mandates. Yeah. And now we're against the vaccine altogether because we now know what the ramifications are.
Right.
From it. So does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay, go, Steve.
All right. Are you familiar with the comedian Jack Black?
Yes.
Yes. I don't like him.
Okay. Well, he is he and a friend of his named Kyle Glass are part of a comedy troupe a musical band called Tenacious D. And apparently the other day it was Kyle Glass's 64th birthday. Jack Black got him a cake and asked him on stage, well, do you want to make a wish? And Kyle Glass appeared to say, don't miss Trump next time.
Oh, that's
Jack Black has canceled his tour. He said, I would never condone hate speech or encourage political violence in any form. He didn't feel it was appropriate to continue the Tenacious D tour, and the rest of the group's creative plans are on hold. He was blindsided by the comments.
Who quoted this? Or who's the quote
Jack
from?
Black is being quoted
who said
at the BBC.
This? Who said this again?
Jack Black said that. He would never condone violence.
The second part.
About.
So Jack Black doesn't condone violence is what you're saying?
That's what Jack Black said, that he doesn't condone the violence.
Okay, who was the one that said?
The original statement.
It was Kyle Glass, who's the second member of the Tenacious D comedy troupe band.
So you have Jack Black, and a lot of people know his name.
Yeah.
Comedian and musician. I didn't know he was a musician, but anyway. And so he's having a birthday cake for his colleague and friend, who's a band member.
Yep.
Right? And his band members, he asked him, what's your wish? What's your wish, Jack Black says. And he says, his band member says, whose name is what? Kyle Gass, G-A-S-S, says, don't miss Trump next time. And rightly so, Jack Black is, now he didn't say it. Jack Black didn't say it. And he says he's apologetic for it and appalled by it. But still, you know what I'm seeing? I'm seeing stories from around the country where finally people are being held accountable.
A lot of people.
For advocating for physical violence against politicians, other people, in this case, President Trump. And a lot of people get, usually that's accountability for, I say accountability, usually people get fired on the right.
Yeah.
For much milder things than what these lefties are saying about
Trump. Right.
Now, I mentioned when Jack Black's name was mentioned by Steve that I don't like him, and I hope he gets saved or whatever, okay? I'm not saying I want to consign the man to hell, but I haven't liked him as a professional, as an actor or comedian, since 2008 when Proposition 8 was on the ballot in California to defend traditional marriage. He was in a skit and played the part of Jesus rebuking disciples who cited the Bible on homosexuality.
You don't want
and
to
said
go,
you ought to choose love instead.
Playing the part of Jesus?
Playing the part of Jesus. If he had just made the argument in a speech or an interview, fine. People can disagree, but
that's
he played the part of Jesus. And I just said, sorry, dude, you're a false teacher.
Not the blasphemy.
We're about out of time here.
Sorry.
But guys.
Sorry for sharing my heart.
Well, you know what's about to start. What America's about to start bubbling up in excitement, anticipation over, don't you?
What?
VP debate?
No. There's coming up in August. Get ready for it.
Drum roll.
Democrat National Convention.
Uh huh.
In Chicago, Illinois.
That's the next comedy skit,
huh? And that's You don't think America's ready for that?
Yes, sir.
I think we'll see violence.
I think the excitement level's just going to,
I think we're going to see protests, violent protests against the Democratic Party.
Yeah, the Dems are divided left. Way worse. Obviously, there's division in both camps, but there's far more division in the Democratic camp than there is the.
Yeah. I think the Democrats are probably going to move Biden's acceptance speech to 2 in the afternoon.
Well,
don't you think so?
You mean when he's awake?
When he's awake.
Yeah. Most of the protesters don't get up until about then. They're still kind of sleeping their eyes, and he's.
In all seriousness, we can talk about this another time, but I do think you're going to see a lot of protesters at the Democrat, especially over the Hamas Israeli situation.
Yep. The last time I was in Chicago, they had a horrific.
68, right?
68.
So the more things change,
the more they stay the same.
Yeah. All right. Thank you for listening to this program today, everybody. We look forward to visiting with you tomorrow for another edition of Today's Issues.